D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful start to your Tuesday. It's hot out there. I like it. Nearly 80 degrees. It probably won't last, but enjoy it while you can.
It's so nice to walk out there and not have the cold hit you.
Perfect weather.
You may have heard that yesterday was Willie Donick's birthday, and he told us that his daughter, Evie, was planning some sort of surprise gathering, and then we didn't hear from Willie until like noon today.
Rough day, huh?
We thought Willie was on top.
Conclusions.
We thought Willie was on top of a building.
I thought Willie
passed out.
Had the bender to end all benders. Too many yellow Gatorades, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Forget hangover. Willie was going to start something totally different.
We thought Willie was missing.
Yeah.
But he's here. He made it.
Yeah. I was surprised. I did get you guys were asking yesterday, is this a surprise party? And I was like, no, no. And then sure enough,
bam.
It was. My daughter Evie and her little. Her wing people, her roommates, they got me. Hook, line, and sinker.
That's what they're supposed to do, man.
Yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do. So I'm sure you enjoyed it.
Did you have a good time?
It was a great time. Yeah, it was a good time. And some good college hoops last night. Arizona is no longer unbeaten.
And did you notice something at the end of that game?
Stop it.
Did the Kansas fans storm the court?
No, I think that's
they did it.
That's what D-Mace has issues with.
That's interesting.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing.
That's a tough place to win. You expect to win there.
I get that. I understand it. But sometimes you got to let students that are cheering for their team be students. And some students choose to rush the floor. I guarantee you, because it's not like, you know, Carolina and Duke played last year. They rushed the court and everybody forgot about it. But everybody's been talking about this Duke, North Carolina rushing a court. Don't you think they had a talk and said, if we win, we ain't going to rush the court, that student body, because we don't want to be like Duke, like North Carolina. We want to be the upstanding ones.
How does that talk work? They just start the word through the
stands? Yes, just start the word. Like,
We're not going.
We are that fan base that is not going to do it.
Or maybe Kansas fans hold themselves to higher standards.
I guarantee you, I can go
than North Carolina
fans. Here's the really good thing. Here's the really good thing about Google. That you can type it in and you can see the last time.
I will tell you the last time Duke fans were in the court.
No, no, not Duke. I'm saying like Kansas fans or any fan out there, like fan base. We can Google in and see the last time they stormed the court and why.
Okay. So when was the last time Kansas fans stormed the court?
No, I'm saying we can. I will do. I'm going to get it quickly.
All right.
But I'm going to let you talk about Duke.
No, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. But I'm just saying.
Okay. When was Kansas.
Respect. Respect to Kansas fans. Knocking off the number one team in the country, the undefeated Arizona Wildcats, and staying in their seats. Good for you, Kansas fans. That's how it's done when you've been there before. That's how it's done. And I don't even really like Kansas, but good for you, Kansas. For our Jayhawks fans out there, you did the right thing. Okay.
Can we get a little shout out for the Vanderbilt women?
Oh, absolutely. Michaela Blake's.
They put on a
show. Boy.
Audrey Galvin, she has 30
she's really
as
good.
Well. And she's
yes.
a freshman.
Yes.
She's really good. And she was not the 5-star recruit. She's a fun story because she was just a great find by Shea Ralph. But, man, that was a show. They just absolutely annihilated Oklahoma. That's how you do it. And Michaela Blake's, who had 40.
Mm-hmm. Her 8th 30-point game of the season.
Yeah. She is.
She got the best scoop layup like since George Gervin. Like she's so good.
They don't even know who George Gervin is.
She knows who George Gervin is.
Come on, you got to know about the Iceman.
The Iceman.
I'm dating myself. The Iceman, George Gervin. Yeah.
I may be young, but I'm not naive.
Okay, so you've seen the film,
yes.
of the Iceman.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing, he had like a more of a soft flip, the finger roll. Michaela Blake, though, once she gets around the corner and she can shoot it from like her. Hip or from her knee almost, but doesn't matter how low it is. She just, if she's got a step, she's so good at scooping it in there, you have no way of defending it unless you foul her. And so, man, she is something. She is something.
If you haven't had the opportunity.
So she had 34 last night, Galvin with 30. Holy cow.
If you haven't had the opportunity to watch Michaela Blake's play basketball in person, I suggest you do so. She is fabulous. So the Vanderbilt women win 102-86 against Oklahoma. The men are back in action tonight, taking on Auburn. A 6 p.m. tip-off pregame show starts at 5:30 right here on 102.5 The Game. So we will take you right up to Vanderbilt pregame as the men take on Auburn, looking to bounce back from their loss.
Let's see if they can get right. This will be another. I don't know if they're getting either of the guys back that have been out for a while. Everybody's asking every day, are they going to play? But
they're going to need them back.
Yeah. Auburn can be tough. Auburn has won at Florida. Florida is a weird team that's lost more games than they should. I think Florida is as good as anybody. But this is a big test tonight for Vanderbilt.
And we will get to the Vanderbilt men later in the program. ESPN football analyst Trevor Maddich will join us for his weekly chat at 4:20. But let's start with this question. Are either of you familiar with the butterfly effect?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about the 2004 sci-fi thriller starring Ashton Kutcher.
That was pretty good, too.
I don't remember that movie. I don't know if I've ever seen it, and if I have, it was a long time ago. But I'm not talking about The Butterfly Effect, the movie. The original concept has been misinterpreted in popular culture, but most people know The Butterfly Effect as the idea that a minor change in circumstances can cause a large change in outcome. And in the wake of the Seattle Seahawks winning the Super Bowl on Sunday, I've been seeing a lot of this regarding Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold's story, his redemption arc, which was completed by him winning the Super Bowl on his fifth team, by the way, the first starting quarterback in NFL history to win a Super Bowl on his fifth team or later. So the redemption arc of Sam Darnold, it's a fabulous story. He's the ultimate nobody believed in me guy. But as our show was ending yesterday, we received a text from Tim. Thank you, Tim, by the way, if you're listening. And Tim said, quote, "The fact is, Tennessee had a shot at Sam Darnold in free agency and could have traded the pick away for four premium picks," end quote. So let's humor Tim and all of you who share this belief. Let's call it the Sam Darnold butterfly effect. Let's say that Sam Darnold chose the Titans in free agency and they traded the number one overall pick to the New York Giants. How would the trajectory of the Tennessee Titans have changed? 615-737-1025. Willie, why don't you start by answering that question?
Well, I do think it's an interesting question, but I'm trying to remind myself of the timing of it. So let's start with this. If they had gone out and gotten Darnold, that would have taken them out of being interested in a quarterback with the first pick, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure we can assume that if they had gone out and signed Darnold, which we don't know if Darnold would have been really interested in the Titans with the options that he had, but let's assume for a second that he did, and maybe you just spent so much he couldn't turn it down. Would the Giants have offered them that pick, or you know, that series of picks, knowing that they had Darnold? Because that would happen before the draft, right? The free agency happens before the draft.
Yes.
So they would have already had Darnold in tow, and they could have traded the first pick. But I'm just wondering if anybody would have said, "Yeah, we want that first pick, and we'll go with it." Would they have offered the same package? Would they have had the same leverage? Because they had the leverage of saying, "No, we're going to take Cam Ward. We're going to take the one quarterback that is worthy of that pick." And so you have to wrestle it from us. So maybe, therefore, the offer is bigger. So I don't know if you can assume that they could have had Darnold and the same package of picks. Because if they did, then that's a fair thing to throw out there. I don't think the season would have gone that much better. Darnold would have been worth a couple of wins, but I don't think it would have made that big of a difference in this year's team. But if you're arguing that Darnold plus whatever they could have gotten for the first pick would have moved them ahead, then that's a fair argument.
So what you're saying is that had the Titans signed Sam Darnold in free agency, the Giants may not have had to offer that package to move up to number one overall because Cam Ward could have been available to them at number three.
Exactly. Right, because they know they would have known that the Titans weren't taking a quarterback.
Right, and remember, the Jaguars traded up to take Travis Hunter at number two, and the Jaguars have a quarterback.
Right, so in theory, the Giants could have waited and taken Ward at three, right? If that,
so
in
the theory, package, that went, yes. The package wouldn't have been as large.
If anything,
yeah.
Right? They could have maybe just rolled the dice and said, well, the Titans aren't going to take a quarterback, and the Jags aren't going to take a quarterback. Maybe somebody else would trade up. So if anything, maybe they'd make a deal for number two. Maybe they make that deal with Jacksonville.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't have to spend the capital to move up to number one, knowing that the Titans aren't taking a quarterback. And I know there are a lot of people that are going to say, well, you know, they were going to give up this for Cam, so somebody would have gave it up. And these are the same people that didn't think Cam was a top 10 pick in last year's draft. There's many people that didn't. There was one team that wanted to move up that far to get Cam Ward. Now, if you got Darnold, they don't feel they have to move up to number one. And based upon what everybody was saying, wasn't nobody going to move from 6, 7, 8, or 9 to get up to number one to get Cam Ward. So getting Darnold via free agency, I'm not going to say that would have drastically changed the Titans and how they or the picks they would have gotten. Because I'm under the assumption is, like Willie said, if I knew you didn't need a quarterback, why am I going to offer the world? Because I'm only bidding with myself. Because nobody else is going to want to move up to that top spot. Based upon what everybody was saying, Cam really wasn't a top 10 pick. They were not going to give that up just to move up to number one, knowing that the first two teams on that list didn't need a quarterback.
So let's operate off that premise. Let's say the Titans sign Sam Darnold in free agency, and the Giants don't feel the need to make that deal. Eli on our text line, for what it's worth, says the Browns would have been a threat to the Giants, and they would have given them the offer. Another texter said they would have had to flirt with a team behind the Giants that needed a quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Either way, the Titans don't get the package that was offered to them by not signing Darnold.
Okay, so let's operate off that premise, that it's simply the Titans decide not to draft Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. They sign Sam Darnold in free agency. Who did the Titans take with the number one pick?
If they stay at number one? Wow.
Do they take Travis Hunter? Do they take Abdul Carter?
I think they take Abdul Carter.
Okay.
But he did have some injury history. I'm not sure if they would have taken Travis Hunter number one. They could have. But I'm looking more so at a rush in that's going to affect the game the way they want to affect the game from a defensive standpoint. And the best guy last year was Abdul Carter.
It's probably one of the two, right?
Yes, because
I think we can deduce that that's probably who you're looking at.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Okay, so let's again operate off this premise because we're doing the butterfly effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Titans sign Sam Darnold in free agency. They use the number one overall pick. They draft either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. How is the Titans season different? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a legitimate question. How is the Titans season different if that's what happens?
If you went into it saying we've got Darnold and you shopped the number one pick, then it would have been interesting to see if they could have found somebody to trade for the number one pick. Whether they were going after Ward, maybe it's somebody other than the Giants that made a play for Ward, we won't know. Because would somebody have fallen in love with Ward enough to give them a significant package? That is something we will never know in the butterfly effect. But I think we can conclude that the Giants would not have had to go all in on that first pick unless they really felt like other teams would have made the play. But I just didn't sense that back then.
One texter says, who is to say that the Titans would not tell the other teams that they would still draft the highest quarterback regardless if they had signed Sam Darnold?
They ain't doing that.
But if you invested in what it would have taken to sign Darnold, I don't know that would have been a smart play to then turn around
and try to draft Ward.
Yeah.
But this is a popular question when Titans fans and others have this debate. How many more wins would the Titans have had in 2025 with Sam Darnold instead of Cam Ward? That's a popular question, and I'm not really sure exactly what the answer is.
I think the answer is they would have won more. They should win more.
I would agree with that. But how much more?
But would they have set themselves up to where they're speeding up their rebuild? I don't know. I mean, maybe they win six and they're drafting a lot lower than they're drafting this year. I don't think Sam Darnold is a guy that elevates your whole roster. I think he's a guy that is a good fit on a good roster, and obviously the Seahawks were proven right with that by jumping out and grabbing him. They put a good team around him, and they won the whole thing. He was good. He's not a superstar, but he's a very good starting quarterback.
The problem is, and Willie, you'll appreciate this. Derek, maybe not so much. The problem is that in football, there is not a publicly accessible, all-encompassing value stat like wins above replacement, WAR, in baseball. So it's hard to deduce how many wins Sam Darnold was responsible for the Seattle Seahawks this season. The Seahawks were 10-7 the year before Sam Darnold arrived. They were not a playoff team, but they were not a 3-14, 4-13 team. They were 10-7. I don't think you can say, well, Sam Darnold replaced Geno Smith at quarterback, and therefore Sam Darnold added four wins to the Seahawks total. I think it's a lot more nuanced than that. As you saw on Sunday, the Seahawks have an outstanding defense. They also have great special teams. All three phases of the Seahawks game are excellent. Sam Darnold certainly leveled up the Seattle Seahawks. Jaxon Smith-Njigba was incredible this season. He did not have his best game in the Super Bowl, but he was Offensive Player of the Year, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was, what, a 1,700-yard receiver, nearly 1,800-yard receiver this season?
Mm-hmm.
He was an 1,100-yard receiver with Geno Smith. Sam Darnold helped Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I will not argue against that. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba, even with Geno Smith, was an 1,100-yard receiver. So I would love to know. I searched far and wide for this last night. I was trying to find the equivalent of wins above replacement in baseball for football that's publicly available to see how many wins Sam Darnold added to the Seahawks total, and I was unable to find it. So it's an interesting debate because Titans fans will say, well, had he come here, they would have won seven games. Or this team was bad. Even with Sam Darnold, their ceiling would have been five wins. I don't know how many. I don't know how you can quantify it. I don't know if you really can quantify it.
No, I think it's a prime example of, you know, really two teams that he went to, Minnesota and now Seattle. These were teams that in their mind, they felt that they were, you know, that one or two guys away, plugging one or two holes away from really giving this a push. Not necessarily saying we're going to win a Super Bowl, but we're going to put ourselves in the best position to win, you know, win that trophy that everybody wants. Whether it was, that's why people were so shocked at the way he played against Minnesota last year, when he was with Minnesota last year, in the second round, when they had a first round bye last year.
No, they blew it.
Yeah, you're right. They blew it. And they end up having to play in the
first round. Because
of him. And they got beat. Absolutely. And they end up getting beat. Minnesota sort of went away from him because they had this young quarterback that they thought was their guy, but they felt that their team was ready. And Darnold had the first shot at it. And he didn't do it, so they moved on. Then he goes to another team that they feel they are one or two, maybe three guys away. And they plug those three holes, and then they move and they go and they win the championship. his play allowed them, I think, to do some things offensively that they probably couldn't do with Geno Smith. And he was able to go out there and run the offense the way that it needed to be ran. And they had enough talent. They had more than enough talent that if he was off somewhat, that the talent around him would make up for it. And it did.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. We're playing the Sam Darnold butterfly effect. Let's say in an alternate universe, the Tennessee Titans would have signed Sam Darnold in free agency. How would the trajectory of the Titans have changed if they had landed Darnold in free agency last year? 615-737-1025. Again, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can register today for Stars Trivia Night at Boom Boz in East Nashville on Thursday, February 19th. That's a week from Thursday. It will be a night full of fun, food, and prizes, all while supporting Stars Nashville, a nonprofit providing free mental health support for students in over 200 schools across Middle Tennessee. For more details and how to register, visit thegamenashville.com/events.
I was looking at my free agent options and kind of talking with my agent about it. And then all of a sudden we hear the news that, you know, Geno's getting traded. And that was kind of the, okay, like Seattle could be a potential spot. And when I just found out about kind of the mutual interest, that both sides had to get the deal done, like that was something that, you know, that was really important to me, you know, having somebody that also wanted me there, and to be able to, have an impact, as best I can. And, the other thing too is, I mean, there's great players on defense, great players on offense. I feel like Coach McDonald's scheme on defense was really hard to go against last year. And I know, you know, Coach Clint Kubiak, I know him from 23 in San Francisco, when we made that run there. And, so I'm pretty familiar with the system. So I think, you know, all those factors combined, man, that was really the reason, why I fell in love with kind of the decision to come to Seattle.
That was Sam Darnold before the season explaining his decision to sign with the Seattle Seahawks. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, playing a little game I call the Sam Darnold butterfly effect. Let's say in an alternate universe, the Tennessee Titans would have landed Sam Darnold in free agency instead of the Seattle Seahawks, which means he's starting at quarterback for the Titans instead of Cam Ward. How would the trajectory of the Titans have changed if they had landed Sam Darnold last year? Willie, during the break, you brought up two key questions.
Yeah, I think it boils down to this. What would you rather have? Because I don't know that the real discussion is how well would the Titans have done last year, because that's not as important as how they're going to be in the next 2 or 3 years, right? What's the best pathway back to contention? Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
Like if you're in the world of if they had just signed Darnold and taken whatever they got for him, and you think they were going to make the playoffs last year or something like that, I think that's a little too rich. But I think it's a fair discussion of, here's the question. Darnold plus the package you could have gotten for the first overall pick, and we don't know how it would have changed or not changed, but let's just say you got something there by moving down a slot or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which they don't get here. They don't get the way they did it. Darnold plus the package for the first. And then in theory, you would be picking lower in this coming draft, mm-hmm. right? At least with your own pick. You'd have the package of what you received plus your own pick, which let's say Darnold was worth 3 wins. And you win 6 or 7 somewhere in there. See, I don't say anything about six, seven. Okay, I wasn't going to do it, but that versus what they have, and that's Ward and the 4th pick this year. I think it's a fair question to say what's better, what would have been better for the long term. And so the secondary question is, do you see Ward as a guy that will eventually reach, maybe exceed what Darnold is now? And remember, Darnold failed many years before he got to where he is now.
Yeah, and to answer the first question, I don't think we know. because, including myself, I didn't think that Sam Darnold could get his team to this point. You know, he was he ended up being sort of this mini journeyman, going from one team to another till he finally lands in a place where he has an opportunity and take full advantage of it, and they win a Super Bowl. But I'm not sure after the Jets parted ways with him and he said he was seeing ghosts, there's nobody that can say, oh, I believe Sam Darnold's going to win a Super Bowl. No, people have wrote him off. Now, when he went to Minnesota, it was like, okay, this guy, he has something. But still, there were many people that were like, we need to see him do it again. Me included. And he's went and done that. But I can't say definitively that Cam will or will not be better than what Sam Darnold is right now. We all got to remember, too, Sam Darnold's been in the league, 6 years?
Eight. Yeah.
So he's developed. He's had his opportunity to develop, and this is who he is as a quarterback. So I'm not sure that question can be truly, we can sit here and say he may be or may not be, but we really don't know. Now, as far as the package, what they would have gotten or what they could have gotten, again, it's, we know you got a quarterback. And remember, Cleveland was already at 2. So if Cleveland needed a quarterback, they would have had an opportunity to draft Cam Ward if indeed they needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
They moved down to allow Jacksonville to move
up. Yeah, they passed on going for the quarterback.
Exactly.
And so that's what we don't know is would Cleveland have said, oh, well, they're not going to take Ward.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make our play for Ward, and maybe Cleveland makes a play. I don't know.
And maybe the
Giants and the Browns, in theory, could have been each offering the Titans something to move up to take Ward, if that's the direction they wanted to go, knowing that the Titans weren't going to take Ward.
So but it seems like
if you had two teams that wanted Ward, they could have gotten something for that pick. Maybe,
but it didn't seem
unless
like
they punted. Unless they didn't believe in Ward, they could have said, "Well, we'll just pass."
Yeah, but it didn't seem like. At least, I don't think that Cleveland was pushing to draft Cam Ward with the second pick or drafting a quarterback with the fifth pick. They had an opportunity to draft a quarterback at the fifth pick, and they didn't. They chose to go another route. So we don't even know if Cleveland would have been interested in drafting Cam Ward. They didn't, to my knowledge, they didn't offer a package to the Titans to move up one spot to get Cam Ward, or maybe they wanted too much and Cleveland wasn't going to do that. So I'm not sure if they would have got the package or not. But what I am looking at is this team, period. Even if they would have moved off that spot and got some draft picks, how much would that have changed their team, period, like in other areas? Because they still had the same injured guys. They still had, Snead still wasn't going to be out there.
Right, right.
Really still got hurt.
It was
still a bunch of problems that this team would have had. Now, yeah, I think Sam Darnold would have contributed to about two, three wins. But how many games did they win this year?
Three.
So they would have been 6-11 or 5-12. They still would have been a team picking in the top five. And it would have taken them some years. And I get it. Maybe that second year after Darnold was here, it would have popped. But that also can happen with Cam Ward as well.
So let's say that you had Darnold. Then the package you got for the first pick. So let's just say you end up with somebody like, this may be the perfect storm. Let's say you did get something similar. You could have ended up with somebody like Hunter or...
Let's assume somebody
that was picked in the first 6, 7, 8 picks, you would have had one of those guys.
Let's assume
alongside of Darnold.
Remember the report that the Giants from Adam Schefter on the night of the draft, the first round of the draft, that the Giants reportedly offered the Titans their first round pick this year and next year. So let's assume that the Giants would have taken Abdul Carter at 3 because that's who the Giants took at 3, just for the sake of this exercise.
Yeah.
So let's assume You continue, but let's assume it's Abdul Carter.
Okay, so if you could have found a way for the Giants to offer the same thing, which I don't know that you could have known for sure, but if you did, then that's a pretty strong argument that going forward, mm-hmm. Darnold, Abdul Carter, then the Giants pick this year,
which is number five.
So that's a top five pick, plus your first pick, which you still have, which let's say would be theoretically a little lower if mm-hmm. Darnold got you a couple more wins and you win six or seven, mm-hmm. and you're picking 10th or 12th. But that's still a pretty strong package to bring in. Plus, you would have had another second-round pick from the Giants last year, a high second-round pick. That would be on your team already. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you have. And then you would have the Giants' second-round pick this coming year, which is a high second-round pick. So from that standpoint on what was the better play, it's probably hard to argue that you're not in better shape with Darnold. The question is, could the roster catch up in time for Darnold to still be what he is over the next few years, mm-hmm. and you could win big? That's what has to match up, and I'm not sure whether it does or not.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Talking the Sam Darnold butterfly effect, because now that Sam Darnold has completed his redemption arc and has won the Super Bowl, we're wondering what would have happened had the Tennessee Titans landed Sam Darnold in free agency last season. And I also do want to make one thing clear. We had one texter, I believe it was, let me find it here, JD. JD said, Sam Darnold would have also wanted to come. He would have also had to want to come to Tennessee.
That's a whole nother thing, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And y'all can tell me if I'm missing something. 615-737-1025. I don't recall a credible, and I emphasize that word, credible report that Darnold was interested in joining the Titans in free agency. The closest thing I could find was this story from the Tennesseans' Nick Suss in November before the Titans played the Seahawks at Nissan Stadium. Nick Suss wrote, quote, as sources told the Tennessean, Titans coaches were interested in evaluating the veteran quarterbacks who could come available. Not just Darnold, who could have returned to Minnesota via franchise tag or contract extension, but also former New Orleans and Oakland quarterback Derek Carr, who retired rather than facing the market. The front office never loved the idea. Even if signing Darnold meant trading the number one pick in exchange for a massive haul of draft picks, there wasn't belief the roster would be strong enough to seriously contend within the first two cheaper years of Darnold's contract. The strategy of signing a win-now quarterback to a roster that wouldn't be ready to compete felt tantamount to signing up for roughly 7 wins a year and wading back into the quarterback market in 2 or 3 years.
That pretty much sums it up. Seattle, they have a team built and ready, a team that had 10 wins the prior year, so they were ready to take that next step. The Titans were picking first in the NFL draft, first overall in the NFL draft. This roster was not in a position to sustain, you know, his first couple of years. It would have been mediocre. And then maybe when they got to that third year, now his contract kicks in. And now you got to deal with his contract and the rookie contracts that are now up, that would be up right along with his. So, listen, to me, that sort of is the counter to what other people are saying. Like, you should have brought him in, and we would have better team. Well, the counter to that is what Nick Suss wrote. And not to say it would have been right, but that's like the counter to it. Okay, if we would have done this, look at what would have potentially happened.
Hair Metal Henry says, yeah, but Sam Darnold would still be under Brian Callahan. I'd put my money on an anvil floating for 10 minutes over them winning more games.
That's another fair question, is would Darnold have played even as – we can't assume he would have played as well with the Titans as he did with the Seahawks. We've already pointed out that the personnel around him was way better for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. But just with the Callahan factor, all of the issues that Callahan ended up having, how would that have affected Darnold? And then having that high price tag next to your name, if he were struggling, how would he have handled that? These are all fair questions. I think you would have had to have gone in knowing what Nick Suss wrote, and we just pointed that out in the last segment, that it wouldn't have been a win now kind of idea. It would have been, let's ride Darnold for 3, 4, 5 seasons and hope that he's still playing good football at age 30, 31, which I think it's fairly reasonable that a guy that age should still be able to maintain that. But you would have had to take some lumps with an expensive quarterback before your roster was ready to win.
One texter says, wouldn't Darnold have been brought in as a bridge quarterback like Alex Smith was for the Chiefs?
I don't think that's the idea. Yeah. That's not what the Seahawks. No,
even though they signed him to a 3-year deal, I think that 3-year deal was just in case it doesn't work out. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they redid his deal this offseason to keep him there even longer, because that's one less piece that they have to worry about. And Sam Darnold's what, 31, 32?
He'll be 29 next year.
So I think Seattle's going to redo his deal, restructure the deal, give him more money, and make him amongst some of the top paid quarterbacks out there. But now they've seen he can do it, and now they can add the money on down the line.
And remember, he had already proven he could do it with the Vikings, right? Mm-hmm. So that he was no longer the reclamation project. He was going to be in a different category, an expensive investment coming off of a career year, where you still had to ask yourself, was that a career year? Is this who he is? Or could he regress after the one really good year? Like, the Vikings certainly didn't think that they would skip a beat, knowing what they knew, and they had him the whole year. So the fact that they let him go now doesn't look good. But at the same time, you were going to have to invest pretty heavily in Darnold. So he was no longer a reclamation project last summer.
Keegan says, y'all might get to this point, but we have Darnold, do a little better. We end the season with the young core plus Darnold in the 9th pick. Do we like the situation more or the current situation we have now? I would take the one we have now on the uptick with a younger quarterback versus middling with an older quarterback.
Well, if Cam Ward continues to develop like he did the second half of the season, then I'm with the texter. I would rather, you know, have a young quarterback still developing, looks good. You can add pieces around him. Everybody's young. You bring in some veteran guys, and then they can hopefully help you continue to win while those younger guys are developing. And then you hope by that second or third year, well, really by that third year, now you're a playoff team. So, I mean, they could have did that, you know, and they still can do it with Cam Ward. So trying to do it the other way, you probably still would have gotten to the same point. It may have taken you a little bit longer, but you would have got there. But then I think the roster, you would have had to make some hard decisions come year 3 of his contract, or if you were to sign him to a 4-year deal.
You would have to hope that he could maintain what he's been doing the last couple of years, which is very good play, does turn it over a lot. He's not perfect, but let's just put him in a category of very good. The key would be, what could you do with those extra picks that you would have wielded for the first pick? Those extra 3, 4, maybe 5, who knows, players that you'd get in last year's draft, in this year's draft. That's the unknown. Is you could have filled 2 or 3 other big holes and say, well, we're set there now. We've got so-and-so playing defensive back or as the edge rusher or these things that they don't have right now.
John from Murfreesboro says, there would be little change as far as wins. As Willie said, Darnold by himself is not a game changer. In Minnesota, he had a top 5 receiver in Justin Jefferson and a very good one in Jordan Addison. Then he has Jaxon Smith-Njigba in Seattle, yet another top 5 wide receiver. I can name 20 receivers better than Calvin Ridley. If Darnold is on the Titans, who would he be throwing to?
Calvin Ridley, and maybe they would have gotten a receiver had they, you know, made the deal and got some picks, maybe they would have chosen to pick a receiver higher in the draft, knowing they'd had that extra pick. But maybe not. But they're right. You go from, you know, Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, you know, to a you know, an offensive coordinator that knows how to call plays and that offense is going at a clip that you know, many were not going last year, to, you know, another team in Seattle that has a top three wide receiver, a really good second guy in Cooper Kupp and some other guys, a really good running back, a defense, offensive line's really good. So you look at those two situations and then you point them here toward the Tennessee Titans, he wouldn't have got any of that. It would have been a roster that is being built. You know, maybe they would have drafted an extra offensive lineman with the extra picks. I don't know. But the way that roster stood last year, right before the draft, everybody knew. Like, this is, especially if those top flight, those starters get hurt, the talent drops off because there's no experience. And what happened? Those top flight guys, those A1 guys, meaning starters, they got hurt. And then they went to the second group and they got hurt. Then it was a free fall after that. So I'm not sure if he would have been able to operate the way people, he maybe under this, he probably wouldn't have won 5 games. One considering text, what was going on with this team, injury-wise, trading guys away, and everything else.
One texter says, the costs outweigh the benefits of signing Darnold. Okay, instead of being a dumpster fire, we would have just been a dumpster. We have so many missing pieces to the puzzle. With or without Darnold, we'd be better, but not Super Bowl contender better. But to the other texter's question about who's he throwing the ball to, I mentioned this before. Jaxon Smith-Njigba was outstanding this season. He leveled up because of Sam Darnold. He was the offensive player of the year. But last season, with Geno Smith as his quarterback, he was still an 1,100-yard receiver. He had 100 receptions for 1,130 yards and 6 touchdowns. He was a Pro Bowler in his second season. There are no young receivers on the Titans who compare to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. What would Chim Dike's season... What would Alec Iomanner's season, assuming they're on the team in this butterfly effect scenario, what would their seasons would have looked like with Sam Darnold as their quarterback?
I think we could say on a baseline, let's just say that a veteran quarterback might have added some numbers to those guys, but I still think it would have been underwhelming. I think there would have been a lot of, hey, we've paid X amount of $X million for this quarterback, why aren't we winning? Like, I think that... that never fails, even if we went into it saying, hey, this is a long-term thing. We're not signing Sam Darnold to win right now. We're signing Sam Darnold because we feel like we want to put this in place. We're going to pay him, but we feel like the roster will come around. We're going to trade the first pick, and we're going to build the roster to where the roster is going to be really strong and we'll have a really good quarterback. I don't know if that would have flown, because – Darnold would have been the highest paid free agent signing. He would have been coming to a losing team. If he struggled, there would have been a ton of criticism about Darnold, right?
And he was more likely to struggle in this situation.
Big time.
Than he ever, you know, would have struggled going to Seattle. And he didn't struggle if any. So when you bring him here.
I mean, he did lead the NFL in turnovers.
Yeah, he did lead, but when you got the best
in the regular season. He was outstanding. The zero turnovers in the playoffs.
And that's what people don't understand. Like, when you pair a quarterback up with a receiver that has already shown the ability to play this game at a high level, it's not the quarterback that's leveling him up. It's just him having another year and him ultimately leveling you up. Because a damn good receiver gives the quarterback a bigger margin of error. Listen to me again. A really good receiver gives a quarterback a bigger margin of error. That's why a lot of times they're looking for the 6'3", 6'4", guys. Because if you don't have an accurate quarterback like Breeze, Brady, Peyton, even Purdy's accurate, then that margin of error has to be a little bit greater. Like, I have to give me a guy with a wingspan that can cover where I need to – where I'm going to be off at. So I go get it. Why do you think, and I know we got to go quick, why do you think that the Carolina Panthers went and got Tech McMillan? Because their quarterback's 5'11", and their receiver is 6'4", and his range, his radius is much bigger. So you can be off a little bit, but that guy is still going to get the ball.
So in your mind, Jackson Smith and Jigba should be getting more credit
exactly.
for what he did for Sam Darnold
exactly.
than vice versa, which is what I
but
think
Sam did
general
his,
consensus.
Exactly, but I'm not taking anything away from Sam Darnold, but I think people automatically go, oh, it was the quarterback that leveled him. No. No, but he's been able to go from one number one in the NFL to another number one in the NFL. If you can't put up the numbers with that, with two really good offensive coordinators, then you shouldn't be in this league. But Sam Darnold was able to take advantage of it, and they allowed him to level up.
I still will conclude my argument with how I felt the day after the draft last year.
They should have taken the picks.
I think they should have taken the picks and not signed Darnold, and then just had a placeholder, maybe an upgrade from Brandon Allen or somebody like that, you know, somebody that could have just gotten them by, a true reclamation project, maybe it was Mac Jones or somebody like that. I would have gone that route and bit the bullet for a year and come back with all these picks this year. I still stand by what I said. I still hope that Cam Ward will be an excellent quarterback someday. But after watching him for a year, I still feel the same way I did last year.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Coming up next, we had our friend Teron Davenport on the show yesterday, and he said something really interesting about the Titans at number 4. We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.